I can't imagine any believer not loving that song. That makes me ready to start marching. Somebody lead the way. I'll fall in behind you. Turn with me, if you would, back to 1 Corinthians 2. I pray this will be a blessing to us and an enjoyable way to end the day. I want to tell you how this message came about. Last Wednesday night, after I announced that our text was Psalm 62, I just mentioned to you as a happy reminder that that was our brother Roy Baldwin's favorite psalm. The Lord, after the Lord called him home, we looked at that psalm, and the title of the message that we looked at was A Message for Our Brother Roy. Psalm 62. And just being there last Wednesday night, it made me just happy to remember how much he loved that psalm. And just, don't we just love God's people and just thank the Lord for them? It's special. Well, because I reminded everybody of that, Juanita called me to tell me how much it meant to her that I would just remember him and mention his name. And I understand that. It means a lot to me, and that was his wife. And we started talking about the fact that he is in glory now. This man, who in the other building sat right there, and we knew and talked to and hugged, and he is in glory now. His soul. I am a soul and you are a soul. We are not bodies. I've said it before, and I think it's a really good illustration. You can cut off every part of this body that's not a vital part for life, and I'm still me. If I'm missing a finger, I'm still me. Missing an arm, I'm still me. Missing my legs, I'm still me. I'm a soul. And his soul, his being, his person is in glory right now with Jesus Christ. We think about how amazing we read about the apostles and they walked with Christ. He's walking with Christ. He's with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we were talking, Juanita just kept saying over and over again, can you imagine? Can you just imagine? Can you imagine what he's doing right now? Can you just imagine what Roy is doing right now? That's what our conversation sounded like. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Can you imagine what that's going to be like? And this is what I said to her. No, I can't. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. We just literally cannot imagine. Before we even start into this message, I want to establish we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine. When I got off the phone with her, I got to thinking about our conversation, and I thought, you know, even though I truly can't imagine. I know, I acknowledge, I cannot imagine what it's going to be like to be with Christ in glory. But even though I can't imagine it, I would still like to try. I know I can't. But I would still very much like to try to imagine what it's going to be like. What it's going to be like. For that reason, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 is going to be our text, and I've titled this message, Can You Imagine? Can you just imagine? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. There is nothing on this earth that our eyes have ever seen. We've seen pictures of exotic beaches and oceans and whatever it is you're into. Some people are not really that into beaches and oceans, but I am. And I've seen a couple that I have enjoyed very much, but I've seen a lot that I don't believe I'll ever get to see in my lifetime. And they're just breathtaking, truly breathtaking. You see majestic waterfalls. We have some of the most glorious sunsets here in Kingsport I've ever seen. People talk about the sunsets of these different places. We have glorious sunsets. We have seen some amazing, truly glorious things. But there is nothing on this earth that these eyes have ever seen. And there is nothing on this earth that these ears have ever heard. Again, I have to go back to ocean waves crashing. I love to hear the beach. Rain falling softly, just like that, on a tin roof. That's beautiful to me. I sit and listen to that for hours. Orchestras of moving music. You go see a movie or something, and they've hired the greatest orchestra in the world to play the score. I love music. If it's the right chord at the right time, it sends chills through me. I love music. There is nothing on this earth that our eyes have ever seen. There's nothing on this earth that our ears have ever heard. I would just say, you know, wait till you hear the choirs of angels. But just wait till you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, really, the actual voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? I've thought about it so many times. I wonder what his voice sounds like. The book of Ezekiel and the book of Revelation, they both say that his voice is as the sound of many waters. It says his voice sounds like a trumpet. It says many things, but it's beautiful to hear. It's just beautiful to hear. There's nothing on this earth that our eyes have ever seen. And there's nothing on this earth that our ears have ever heard. And there's nothing on this earth that has ever entered into the heart of our imagination that could possibly describe to us the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I know we've all tried, but we just cannot even imagine. But I want to try, okay, just for a minute here. As we get into this, I want us to know before we go into it that the Lord is not speaking here and has not done this for every single person. It's always important that we qualify this. It's always important. Our Lord has done this for those who love him. Isn't that what we just read? Verse 9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's who he's speaking to. And why do they love him? Those who do actually love him. Why do they love him? Because he loved them first. That's the reason why. Our loving him, and again, I'll qualify by saying this, people think they love the Lord God until they find out who the Lord God really is, and then they say, well, no, I don't love that God at all. But whom the Lord loves, He puts a heart in them to love Christ for who He is in all of His glory. God Almighty seated on His throne. And our loving Him is only the evidence of the fact that He truly loved us first. If we love God, not the God we made up in our mind, but God, it means He loved us first. And we don't love Him so that He'll save us. We love Him because He already saved us. We're not worthy of His love. We're not worthy of His salvation. But because of His goodness and His mercy and His compassion on unworthy, unlovable sinners like us, He loved us and He saved us in spite of us. And our text right here shows us that very clearly. This is quoting Isaiah 64. What we just read is a quote from Isaiah 64. And that tells us that very thing. Turn with me over there, if you would, to Isaiah 64. Verse 1 says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When the Lord comes back, He's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on sin. And our only hope is that Christ, when He came here to bear that fire and that vengeance, He came to bear all of that fire and vengeance that had to come down. He came to bear it for His people. And our only hope is that when He came and did that, we were included. Verse 3 says, when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. Verse 4 is what our text is quoting. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him. If you have a center margin, it says, I hath not seen a God beside thee which doeth so for him. No man has seen a God who will do such wonderful things for such unworthy sinners. You're going to come down in your fire and your vengeance, and you're going to melt everything. The heavens are going to melt. The earth is going to melt. Everything's going to melt. And how glorious is it? Man can't even see the glory of what you have done. Verse 5. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. We're sinners who you saved. Verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. What he's saying is, we haven't done anything to deserve glory. We're going to talk about how glorious it is and how wonderful it is. We have done nothing to deserve it. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. They all deserve to be burned up. Verse 7, there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Thank God his people were consumed in Christ. You consumed us because of our iniquities in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We art the clay. And thou our potter, and we are all are the work of thy hands. He said, we're so unworthy, but our hope is in the fact that you've done glorious things for us, in spite of us. And that's who's going to be in glory with Christ. All who have received his goodness, his kindness, his mercy through his work of salvation. Paul said, I was crucified with him. I was crucified with him. I was buried with him. I was raised with him to walk in newness of life. That's who's going to be with Christ in glory, the redeemed of the Lord. Those who he covered in his blood. Chosen of the Father, redeemed of the Son, called of the Spirit, the recipients. Okay, the recipients of his work. Now, if that's us, we cannot possibly imagine the eternal things that God has prepared for us. Meaning, what it's going to be like to be with him. Just what it's going to be like. I want to read some verses here to just try. We're going to try to imagine what life in glory with Christ is going to be like. All right, turn with me to Luke 23. We're just going to go through some scriptures here. Luke 23, verse 39, it says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. What he's saying is, we're sinners and we deserve this. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He called it paradise. Now, we've already mentioned beaches and oceans and things like that, the stuff that we normally call paradise. What we know on this earth to be paradise is actually a cesspool tainted by and filled with sin. What my flesh is so drawn to and is so in love with is sin. It's rotten, it's decaying. It's sin. The paradise that God lives in. The Apostle Paul was caught up there one time. The third heaven, he called it paradise. And he said, I heard things that are not even possible for a man's mouth to utter. Knowing that, I'm not going to try to utter anything to describe God's paradise, other than to say the glory of God's paradise is indescribable. It so far surpasses any words that could be said. It so far surpasses. The beauty is indescribable. The peace and the rest is indescribable. The joy is indescribable. David said to be there is to behold his beauty. He said, one thing have I desired. I just want to be there to behold the beauty of the Lord. In his paradise with him, when we see him in his paradise, we're going to see the full display of his beauty. He will keep nothing from us. The beauty of God. We will see the full display of the glory of God. We will see the full display of the majesty of God. And it's going to be so breathtaking, we'll never get over it. We don't know anything here that we don't get over. But there it's going to be so breathtaking for all of eternity, we will never get over it. That initial shocking wow factor that we experience, there's an initial wow. That'll never end. That will never end. That's how glorious it's going to be. Only it's going to be infinitely more than I just pitifully tried to describe it. It's just glorious. Turn with me to John 17. John 17, verse 9, our Lord said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He's praying this not for the entire world, but for his people who will be called up to glory with him. Now look at verse 24. He said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He said, Father, this is my desire. And whatever is Christ's desire, that's how it's going to be. He said, I want them to be with me where I am. In glory, there will never be a time that we're not with him. Never a time. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. That's not a figure of speech with him. He won't. He will not. There is never a time that he is not with us right now. It's just now we see through a glass darkly. Then we're going to see face to face. And we'll know the reality of the fact that he will never leave us. He will never leave our side. He'll never cause us to leave his side. Never. He'll never take his eyes off of us. We'll never be separated from him for all of eternity. Not even when he comes back to gather the remaining people from this earth. I love the thought of that. He said, Colossians 3 tells us, 1 Thessalonians 4, they both say, we're all coming back with him. When he comes to get his people, we're all coming with him. Wherever he goes, we're going to be with him. Wherever he is, where I am, they may be with me also. Turn with me now to Romans 8. Let's see if the Lord will let us enter into this like we never have before. Romans 8, verse 16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Son of God. And the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs. Do we know what that word really means? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Joint heirs with him. Can we imagine? Look right here at verse 32. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Along with the Father giving Christ to us, we have been given to Christ, and Christ has been given to us. And along with the Father giving Christ to us, he is going to give us everything else that heaven has to offer. If he gave us the absolute most valuable thing that heaven has, which is his precious Son, he will give us everything that heaven has. The glorious kingdom of God, that's not going to be a place for us to just look at and admire, you know, like we're visitors. That's sometimes how we see it. We'll show up and we'll see God's house and we'll admire God's heaven. And I say this fearfully and carefully, but according to his word, it will be ours. Does that make sense? It will be ours. He talks about an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. That inheritance is Christ and everything the Father has given to Christ. And the Father has made us, his children, to be joint heirs with Christ. And he's not going to make us feel like we're guests in a borrowed home. It'll be ours with him. We're going to feel at home. What's it going to be? I wonder what it's going to be like. We're going to feel at home. That's what it's going to feel like. Turn with me to Ephesians 6. This just makes me smile. Ephesians 6, verse 9. Ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Okay? Your master is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Our Lord is right now in heaven, and there is no respect of persons with him. What that means is, our brother Roy Baldwin is right now getting just as much attention from the Lord God as Moses is. There's no respect of persons. Our brother, that precious brother, Bill Silva, who passed away, the Lord called home from rescue recently, he is sitting just as close to the Savior as King David is. There's no respect of persons. What's it like to be there with him? No one is above. No one is beneath. There's no respect of persons. Whether you've been there for 6 minutes or 6,000 years, everybody gets Christ. Everybody gets all things in Christ. All of his love, all of his attention, all of his favor is fixed on every single one of his people at all times. Explain that to me. Undivided one-on-one attention at all times. Revelation 3 says we are going to walk worthily with him in righteousness. Let me repeat that one. We are going to walk worthily with him wherever he goes in righteousness. It says we're going to eat with him. We're going to drink with him. It says we're going to sit in his throne with him. We're always thinking about standing before the throne of God, and we should. God is holy. He's a just God. He will by no means clear the guilty. He must punish sin, but in the blood of Jesus Christ, for Christ's sake, being joint heirs with Him, we are going to sit in the throne with Him. Seated with Him. The throne of God Almighty. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And Revelation 14 says we are going to have the Father's name written in our foreheads. What is the Father's name? There's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him. But what that means is we're going to know God. We're going to have the Father's name written in our foreheads. We are going to truly know God. We're going to know God as He is in His fullness. Really, is there any wonder why Paul said, I am so ready to depart and to go be with Christ? It's far better. It is so, so much better. Well, go with me back to 1 Corinthians 2. I'll finish with this. 1 Corinthians 2. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm going to say this twice. We cannot truly imagine what life with Christ is going to be like. But we can believe it. We cannot imagine it, but we can believe it. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? That means, how do you know what my will is and my desire is unless I tell you? Only I know what I will and desire. And he's saying, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That means we're not just saying the words of man. These are the words of God. This is true and faithful. He said, write it down. Verily, verily, this is so. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. That has to be revealed by God. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We do. Can we imagine? With the mind of Christ, we can. We can imagine. We can believe. We can look to. We can hope in. We can wait for the things that God has prepared for every soul in Christ. It'll be here before we know it. It's going to be here before we know it. And then we'll know as we have been known how glorious it'll be. All right, Brother Eddie.